Okay, I think there is a handout somewhere along the way. If you can, someone is in the process going to the hospital. Office for that. Why don't you do that, Mr. Myers? And we are in Judges chapter number 2. And last week we started this lesson, and I think this important Bible lesson, Bible truth of what we learned from the people of Israel, from their history, and the Bible gives us the ingredients of the downfall of that nation. Okay, and last week we talked about three things. One is they lost God's vision for their nation. And people, many people, I'd say a lot of people today have lost their vision not only for themselves, but they've lost their vision for their family. And a lot of people just don't seem to understand the future. What a family does, and a lot of young people don't understand the future that they hold for their family. And God has a plan. God has a plan that the family is a great instrument to provide a basis of godliness for the generations to come. We have a lot of young people today who are living for themselves. And they have no problem lowering the standards that were taught in their home. They have no problem going in a different direction than what they were taught in their church. and there's a lot of reasons for that. One is, they don't have God's vision for the family. They don't understand the principle of a godly seed. And on the negative standpoint, they're selfish. They're living for themselves. And it was good to hear my son tell me the other day. He said, we talked about things after that sermon, Family Blessings or Cursings. And he said, you know, this particular thing in my life, I knew, I decided that I couldn't do that because that would be bad for my children. And there's a lot of Christians that are just living for themselves. They don't think about the next generation. There's a lot of young preachers who are living for themselves. They're not thinking about the next generation. Thanks. That's okay. So that's a real problem. And there's a real need to for people to change that. I like to challenge some senior citizens. I like to challenge senior citizens. You know what? You need to have a vision for the next generation. You need to have a vision for the next generation. And sometimes senior citizens get the idea, well, you know, I just have a few years left. There's a lot that I can just kind of float through Christian life. I don't need to make these big changes. I don't need to have strong convictions. You know what? That's the same problem that young people have, isn't it? Now, we talked about losing a vision for their nation. We talked about compromise. Verse 2, making a league. And instead of driving out the inhabitants, they made a league. And they didn't obey the word of God. We want to look today at verse number 10, though. It says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. A generation which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. We see a distinction here between one generation and the next. And we want to talk about bridging that gap. But there is a real problem today, and that's the thing that we want to solve. You know, I remember when I went to Hannah's graduation at Bob Jones University. One of the things that stuck in my mind was there's a number of ladies, mothers, same age as my wife. And they were dressed modestly. And alongside them were their daughters who were graduating from Bob Jones University. Most of them, and I'm not exaggerating, most of them dressed distinctively different from their mothers. Their mothers would have basically a modest apparel, long, loose, ladylike, and the daughters, short, tight, and if they didn't have to wear a dress, it wouldn't be ladylike at all. And I thought, Christianity over one generation, just one generation. It's on the obvious, distinct downward trend. Now the Bible tells us one of the reasons why it happened with the people, and Judges it's really a great chapter book for us to read because it really is a description of fundamentalism and Christianity of today. Judges is a book of failure. And it's a book in which the Bible says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And of course that is in contrast to Revelation or revealed scripture. Okay? So, how do you bridge this gap? It says there is another generation which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Okay? So here is a very important principle for the continuation of the godly seed, is that the next generation needs to have two things. They need to know the Lord, and they need to know and see the works of the Lord. Okay? They need to know the Lord. What does that mean? Well, obviously it means their children need to be genuinely saved. Genuinely saved. Now, I didn't say a profession of faith. Didn't say that. I didn't say a profession of faith. I said genuinely saved. I'm going to contradict what some people say because I think it's important. It is very important that you recognize the difference between a profession of faith and genuine salvation. Very important. And genuine salvation, it is as much being born again as an adult is being born again. There's a miraculous birth that takes place. Okay? And that miraculous birth ought to be obvious. You know, what does the Bible say happened? Before a child is saved, does the Holy Spirit live in them? Before a child is saved, has their will been converted? before they're saved, is their understanding still darkened? Are their affections still twisted towards evil? Yeah. And you know what? The new birth is real. Okay? The new birth is real. Now, if your child doesn't show much life, you need to be concerned. You know, if they don't show much evidence of the Holy Spirit working in their life, I'd be concerned. And I wouldn't just say, oh, they're saved. They prayed a prayer. Boy, I wouldn't settle for that. You know, that's what's the problem with a lot of the Bible colleges and young people today. You know what? They don't know the Holy Spirit. They're just drifting along in life. And as soon as they drift away from home, they're drifting away from their parents' influence and their church, and they're just going down, gradual down. And so there's this great need that children be genuinely converted. Okay? And you need to teach them the Word of God early. From a babe thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. From a child, you need to look for the fruit of salvation. You need to look for evidences that they have genuinely been saved. Okay? You know what? If they aren't saved, you ought to, if they don't act like they're saved. What do I mean by acting like they're saved? If the Word of God doesn't have any power over their life, if the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to be able to prick their heart, if they buck at righteousness, if they are at home, they feel at home with unsaved people, much more so than, you know, saved people. You know, you ought to say to them, hey, you know, I'm concerned. You don't show much evidence of being saved. I would tell that to my child. I'd specifically tell it to them. Because you know what? The worst thing that could happen for them is to grow up and be an unsaved Baptist. That's the worst thing could ever happen. And they might even become a preacher. Might even become a preacher's wife. You know? And where would they lead that church? Huh? They'd lead it down, wouldn't they? Yeah. And they'd have all the advantages maybe of the knowledge and et cetera, of a Christian home and teaching, and they would use it against righteousness. So I think that we need to really remember that one of the great needs, and what we see from the people of Israel, that the next generation wasn't saved. And you know, that's the way it is. You know, when people profess to get saved and aren't saved, I guarantee you, they don't like standards. They don't like standards. And they will oppose a church taking a strong stand. They will oppose that. And that's why a lot of churches are getting soft, is because they got a whole bunch of people in there that have never been born again. And unsaved people don't like strong standards. They don't love righteousness. They don't want righteousness. They want a little bit, but they don't want too much. And that's one of the real problems today. So children need to be really saved. Now notice it says they didn't know the Lord nor the works which he had done. Now, one of the things that we need to think about is children, this is point B, children need to be in a home that experiences the works of the Lord. Okay? Now, when it says the works of the Lord, what's it talking about? It's talking about, in this context, Judges, they didn't see God part the Red Sea. They didn't see God part the sea, the River Jordan. They didn't see God defeat Sihon. They didn't see the manna. They didn't see the walls of Jericho fall. They didn't see all the kings of the north fall. They didn't see Ai and the curse of Achan. They didn't see the taking of the land without one person dying in battle, except for in the battle of Achan, around Achan. They didn't see these great miracles. Now, how do we get our homes, and I think this is a challenge for all of us, how do we get our homes so that young people are seeing the miraculous work of God? Pardon me? Well, okay, through their parents. That's that. Okay, so what do parents need to be? What do they need to be doing? Okay. Parents, need to be in the middle of the work, and they need to be in the middle of the battle. Yes. Well, because they began to live in defeat. Okay? Instead of having victory over the people of the land, what happened? Well, he said, well, the people in this town, they're too tough. We can't beat them. And these people got chariots. We can't beat them. And these people over here, they got walled cities. We can't beat them. And so, that's nothing like the walls of Jericho, is it? Well, it's nothing like the walls of Jericho. And so, instead of them being the instruments that God used to defeat the enemy was defeating them. Okay? Yes?
Yeah, the knowledge there wouldn't just be that they didn't know about them. They didn't have experiential knowledge of the works of the Lord. And like you were saying, it's because they didn't go out. If they had gone out and fought the Canaanites or the chariots and so on, then they would have had to know the Lord, because the Lord would have miraculously delivered them, and they would have experienced that deliverance. Because they just wanted to do whatever they could do in their own strength and just do their own thing their own way, then they didn't see their parents actually going out and fighting. So, you know, if we're in a situation, like something that came to my mind when you were talking about that is, like when I went to that this, like, you know, pro-Palestine Islamic thing, and I was passing out those tracts there, and the guys wanted to do me serious bodily injury, and then the security car came right at the right time, just happened to come, and stayed there for 2 hours. Like, God needed to deliver me there, and, you know, that was the work of the Lord, that He delivered me. So when parents we're doing something, we're actually putting ourselves, fighting for the Lord, you know, preaching the gospel, doing whatever we need to do to take a stand, where the Lord asks to deliver us, or it's not going to happen, then that will be able to be passed.
Okay, so big difference between the knowing about it and it really happening. Okay? Yes, Dave.
There had to be a transition there, though, between the people that knew the Lord and experienced the deliverance. transition there. And I think many times the Lord or the devil uses discouragement to discourage the believers or those that are following Christ, discourages them. They don't transmit, they stop living for the Lord even though they saw the Lord's work. And now you have the result is their children don't know the Lord because they've never seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Backsliding, essentially.
Right, exactly. And yesterday's victories do a person no good today, because every day is a new day with the Lord, and that new day has to be a day of fellowship and relationship with the Lord. So I have some things here. Let's see. Let me go to my notes here a little bit, and then I have some practical things to talk about. Okay? So we talked about the role of the parents. Okay? Yes?
Pastor, what I've seen in reality in today's world is that each parent isn't in unison with each other, recognizing the power of being unified in teaching their children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is a real sad problem, isn't it? Yes, Don.
I don't mind if I participate.
No.
I think what she's saying is just is very important for parents to stand together and to be in unison on what God says about issues pertaining to culture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On her as an individual, but the parents are allowing that to be in their lives. And I think it's because what he says about the fight becomes too strong, culture is very strong, and there's a different type of Christianity today. It's hard to fight against that. It's so hard. And having a strong stand together on the principles of God's word against the culture is hard. And it's hard if God's not working in your lives and the kids don't see it. If you're just saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, the kids aren't seeing God's power in your family and in your life because you're not trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
Those things happen. Culture just infiltrates. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking from experience. It's happening to me right now with all my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one that's away from the Lord. And as a father, here's a little honesty session, because what you're saying is my life, a picture into my life. As a father, arguing with my wife about standards and then seeing it in my kids and being part of that Christianity, I have seen it all crumble and I've given up because I can't fight anymore. It's just too hard to fight. But if I was to look toward the future and move on and just stand on the principles of God's word, pray and have God's power that He would break through, but I'm weak and I chose to let those things go in my life and it become a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
A big mess.
Yeah.
Well, it's, I'm really enjoying the sunny.
Yeah.
Working in my heart.
Yeah. Well, you know, the unity issue is a huge issue, okay? And but you know, again, here we're having the realization. Is, you know what? The same issue is with kids. Why don't they want to be different? They don't want to stand alone. Right? They don't want to stand alone. They don't want to be different. And the same issue is in the home. Okay? Someone has to stand alone for right. Okay? Do you get it? You know, husband, if your wife gives you some trouble, you know, wave the white flag. You can't wave the white flag. That's not your job to wave the white flag. Okay? You know? And you just have to decide that your family's going to do right. Okay? And you know what? Now, don't get me wrong, but you know what? Ladies, you know what? You know, I think that verse, and I'm off the subject here, of a bear robbed of her whelps. Ever heard that verse in the Bible? Of what is a mama bear going to do when someone tries to attack her little ones? Okay? Now, that better not be happening when your kids get in trouble with authority and you come to their rescue. You better come with a spanking stick and give those kids a whipping and come with the confession that you didn't raise them right because they don't know how to submit to authority. But on the other hand, you know, if you shouldn't let anyone influence your kids for bad. I mean, that's your blood. I mean, that's your blood. And you know, mothers need to just say, hey, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking like a man. But I think some mothers just ought to take that TV and throw it in the trash. And if it gets a little bit of World War III, no problem. Yes.
I'll say one more thing. This is my life, but it just goes exactly with what you're talking about here. Because I think a lot of times what happens with a mother is they love their children, and they have this strong motherly instinct towards their child. And they want them to be happy. They want them to have what they want. But a lot of times what happens is the father comes along saying, no, this is not going to happen in your life. And the mother tends to bend to her loving motherly instinct and to allow these things in her life. Come to actual the protection of the child, which is not really protecting them, it's actually harming them.
Mm-hmm.
What they want is ungodly.
Yeah. Exactly. And you know, kids are great manipulators. They know how to manipulate, you know, authority against authority. And they just are born that way. And parents need to rise up against that manipulation and say, no way. You know, this isn't going to happen. Uh-oh, my wife's going to talk now. Got to trust God for the miraculous. That's what we're talking about. You can't settle for less than the miraculous. Okay? And that's what we have, what is happening in Christianity today and in homes. We're willing to settle for something less than supernatural. We have these problems, and we need to take the supernatural approach. And the supernatural approach is, well, I'm not gonna let go of righteousness. Therefore, to make this happen, God's got to do something supernatural. Okay, and that means that number one, the person decided I'm not gonna compromise. Just like Daniel, he decided not to defile himself, and now he's gonna have to trust God to do something miraculous. Okay, and that's really kind of I believe that's what's the problem with. The music, okay? You know, Steve Pettit with his bluegrass music and invading fundamentalism, he said this. He said, this is the music that is going to bridge fundamentalism with the world. Exactly. What he's saying is that this is going to give us our power. Well, what kind of power is that? What kind of power is that? I think that's human emotionalism and maybe a little touch of the devil. That's what I think it is. And that fundamentalism is starting to think that way. Oh, let's compromise a little bit. Let's get some results by compromising. And the thing is, what we're going to miss is the miraculous. What only God can do. Okay? And that's really what the subject is. Okay? They didn't see the miraculous works of God. Okay? And that's what we need to be attempting as parents. Okay? We need to be attempting the miraculous. Okay? Let me give you some thoughts.